I am definitely someone who enjoys the home comforts and nights in. I'd take a night in over a night out. But with the walking, I'm someone different. I wouldn't be excited about it unless there was a challenge. And so I set the rule of at least 20 miles a day for most of the days. And then the spark was back.
This is the Adventure Mindset Podcast. We're your hosts, Tanya and Adam, travel filmmakers living in our camper van and out of our backpacks for the last 4 years.
Through our experience and through conversations with others, we discuss travel, adventure, courage and mindset.
You'll hear from guests who remind us that life is short, that personal growth matters, and that adventure is for everyone, whatever adventure means to you.
Subscribe to join our community. This is the Adventure Mindset Podcast.
Hello and welcome back to the show. This is a bit of a different episode because I'm actually not involved in it at all.
Yeah, Tanya's not really, you're not really in this one, are you?
Yeah, you talk to your friend Sam, who's actually one of your best friends. Mm-hmm. How do you know him and why have we picked him for this episode?
Good question. So I know Sam from living in London. We've spent a lot of time over the years making films together, playing football together, playing Football Manager together as well, which is a computer game. And yeah, he's just been one of the people in my core friendship group for the 10 years that I lived in London. So he's a very important person to me. And the reason that we thought he'd be good on the podcast is because here's somebody who lives a very normal life. It's full of stability. It's full of routine. He loves his routine. He loves his home comforts. But he has managed to put some adventure into his life in the form of walking. And he has just completed a large section of the Southwest Coastal Path along the Jurassic Coast, which totals over 180 kilometers. So it's a really impressive trek. And he did that just over the course of 6 days.
Yeah, that is a lot of blisters.
That is a lot of blisters, as you will soon hear about.
What I love about this episode and why it stands out for me is because we often have guests, of course, that share their stories about their adventures. They live in vans, they live on boats, they go off and do these challenges where they're able to find that inner strength and that courage. But time and time again, what we like to relay on this podcast is really that you don't have to quit your life in order to be able to inject adventure into your life. And Sam's story is evidence of that, that you can be happy with the stability of a 9-to-5, just the comforts that come with having a routine and all of the good that comes with just having that classic steady life, but on the weekends and in the evenings being able to inject that adventure. So I think it's a brilliant episode for that alone.
And in this conversation, we talk about his reasons for doing the walk, how it's been good for his mental health and perspective, and the importance of finding adventure in everyday life. So without further ado, here's my conversation with my very good friend, Sam, aka Walk Like the Wind. But before we get into today's conversation, we just want to take a moment to thank podcast partner AG1 by Athletic Greens. Your body is the most important instrument you own, and it's what you use to get out there and to take on adventures. So it's really important to look after it, keep it fueled, and keep it healthy. That's where AG1 comes in. Packed with 75 vitamins and minerals, you mix it in with water, juice, or add it to your smoothie. It tastes great, and you're giving your body what it needs to improve your energy, gut health and immune system.
So if you're looking for an easier way to take supplements, Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. So if you go to athleticgreens.com/adventure, that's athleticgreens.com/adventure, you will get this offer and you will also be supporting the show.
Hello, mate.
Hello.
Thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
I've never interviewed such a close personal friend on the episode. And I've also never done a podcast interview on my own. So this is going to be interesting.
Really?
Yeah. It's always me and Tanya doing the interviews, not just me.
Yeah.
So
I think this is my first ever interview.
Is it?
Proper. Yeah.
Wow. Proper.
Definitely.
Yeah. This
apart
is
from
proper.
The fun interviews that no one ever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just mock interviews.
This is absolutely proper. I mean, this is such a professional setup. We're just sat on your on your lounge floor.
Yeah.
Surrounded by rugs so that it tries to sound a bit proper.
Exactly.
And yeah, we're going to be professional friends. And we won't talk about the fact that we recorded for about 10 minutes and before we realized that one of the microphones was muted.
No, that was all my good stuff as well. That was all my best stuff.
That's your best stuff. So yeah. If it's rubbish from now on, everybody,
yeah,
it's because Sam did his best stuff about 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway,
go.
So let's do it. Right, best stuff. You ready?
Yeah, best stuff. Okay.
Okay, so firstly, I think it'd be great for you to explain to everybody what was the challenge you just took on.
Okay, so I walked the Southwest Coast Path along the Jurassic Coast section over 6 days, doing 116 miles in total.
Which works out to about 180 kilometres.
186.6 kilometres, yeah.
Which is an incredible distance, and it's a really good feat. And I'm very proud of you for doing it.
Thanks, man.
So well done.
Yeah.
And also, I just can't imagine doing that much walking, because Tanya and I have done lots of hikes and we've done a few treks where we've stayed the night and carried on the next day. And it's always that's the difficult bit, is just the doing a day of walking, getting up the next day and doing another whole day of walking on the same legs.
Yeah. And my first proper walk, the walk home, which was over 4 days, that's what I never considered until I got up the second day and was like, oh, this is the state of me now. And I just didn't think, oh, wear and tear. I forgot about wear and tear.
Yeah.
That's a proper thing.
Yeah, that's it. So those kind of distances are distances that Tanya and I have never even got close to covering. Firstly, I think it would be great to talk about what got you into long distance walking in the first place.
So 3 years ago, during COVID, I thought, how difficult would it be to walk a marathon distance? So 26 miles in one day. And me and a few flatmates, we went out and did something called the Capital Ring, which is like a 15 section ring around London, like a walking path. And so we did a bit of that. And then I really enjoyed that and kind of wanted to do it solo to see how fast I could do it. So every Sunday for the next 4 Sundays, I walked from my flat to wherever I'd just finished off and did 3 sections and then walked back to my flat from there. So generally, the sections were relatively easy, but walking from my flat to certain sections that would be like South London, and I'm in North London. So it's like, right, okay, so we've got to walk 8 miles first to get to the start. The most challenging day was a 40-mile day, which was, I don't know how I made it through. There was definitely, I'm pretty sure I got shin splints for the first time. I think I felt what that was like, which is horrible. But yeah, I made it. And that sort of proved to me that I'm able to do this. And also, I really enjoyed just going as fast as I possibly could to do it, and started writing notes of certain walks I could do. And one of them was to walk from my flat in London to my parents' house in Christchurch. And then a couple of months later, I decided to move home for good and thought, this is the only opportunity I'll get. Let's just walk home. So my dad came up, picked up all my stuff and drove home, and I walked home.
You walked home, and how long was that walk home?
That was, in total, that was 108 miles over 4 days, which was tough, but it was very flat. The walk, for some reason, from London to Christchurch, it is very, very flat. So it was just about getting the miles done, which came with its problems for sure. Like sometimes I prefer up and down maybe, and less miles, rather than just a longer walk. And I didn't necessarily complete all of it as well. The third day I was supposed to do 40 miles, but ended up doing 28 because my feet got wet and I just couldn't walk anymore. But yeah, it was one of the toughest things I've ever done, for sure.
So you've said to me before that you wanted to do it because you wanted to set yourself a really big challenge.
Yeah.
And knowing you, I find that really interesting, because you like your home comforts. You're not someone that will unnecessarily set yourself a big challenge until you did this. So it kind of came out of nowhere for me. Like, we play football together a lot, but you're not massively into your fitness. So it's not like, I want to be like a real fit person, so I'm going to just train and get fit and do this thing. You just kind of like started walking loads and it just kind of came out of the blue.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, why? What is it about long distance walking that made you want to start it?
I think part of it was, like, I really got into doing 10Ks, but I would never do a longer distance. I don't really like running, but I enjoyed doing 10Ks because I knew I could do a good time. But at the same time, it was almost like I'm a lazy runner, even though, I don't know, there's just no enjoyment there. as much enjoyment there, and walking as anyone can walk. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I see it as a bit of an alter ego thing, I think. I knew when I was planning this Jurassic Coast walk that there'd be no enjoyment, or I wouldn't be excited about it unless there was a challenge. Mm-hmm. And so I set the rule of at least 20 miles a day for most of the days. And then the spark was back, because I am definitely someone who enjoys the home comforts and mm-hmm. nights in. I'd take a night in over a night out, and I don't really go for a lot of runs and stuff like that. And it's always like a task. But with the walking, I'm someone different when I'm walking. And I find it hard to stop, because I just want to get it done, because I'm so driven and mm-hmm. hell-bent on getting however many miles needs to be done that day done. I remember during the Jurassic Coast walk, I was thinking about the film The Goonies, when they're down in the well, and one of the characters, they say they have an opportunity to go back up the well to rejoin their life where they're about to be evicted. And all these are kids. And then one of the kids, they're trying to chase a treasure. And one of the kids says, down here, it's our time. It's our time down here. Up there, it's their time. So that's, in a weird analogy kind of way, when I'm walking, it's my time. Mm. And that means a lot to me. And I definitely do it I think it's good for my mental health. I think walking generally is good for mental health. But I'm totally consumed by it. And it's such a challenge that I'd never have it any other way. And it is a love-hate relationship, because once I'm doing it, we spoke during the week that I was doing it, and you mm-hmm. asked me if I was enjoying it. And I was immediately like, enjoy is absolutely not the word. Because at that point, I think that was my worst day, and I was at my maybe lowest. And yeah, but the thought of giving up would be far worse than the thought of, any other thought of...
just carrying on.
Yeah, yeah. I just had to get it done.
I'd like to talk a bit more about like walking as therapy. You mentioned there that it's good for mental health, and I know that you've struggled with your mental health a little bit recently.
Yeah.
And you wanted to do this to raise money for charity as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you could just talk about why you think this walking and being outside was so good for your mental health.
Maybe that's part of why I challenge myself so much, because it completely consumed me. And what you need to do when you wake up that morning is the only thing you need to do is walk from point A to point B, and that is it. And no matter what was going on in my life when I was walking home, even the walk home, obviously massive change, I decided to move home, so there's lots to think about, and the Jurassic Coast, just anything, I really thought I'd have a check-in with myself while I was walking, being like, how is my life? Am I okay? I didn't do that on either of the walks, because I've got to get from point A to point B. So it forced me completely to just focus on one thing, one very simple thing, and that was to get to this finish line. And I think that's just why it was so good for my mental health, because once I got home, I was like, oh, now I'm starting thinking about my life, my work, my just everything. So I think one of the reasons for me personally is why it's so good for my mental health is it is all consuming, and it's the only thing I thought about when I was walking. Even though it was 6 whole days, I didn't think about anything else other than walking.
I love that answer. And it's so interesting, because it's quite a common theme of lots of people that we speak with on the podcast, that going out, facing adventure, putting some kind of adventure into your life, when you're out there doing it, life kind of just gets stripped right back down to the basics. So all you're thinking about, like you say, is you get up, A to B, really basic. Mm. Everything else in your life is just stripped right back, and it's just noise. And then you come back to normal life, which can so easily get filled with baggage and with noise and with all these other things, and then your head just slowly fills up again. But then you go out, and in your case, you go out on the trail and you walk and you hike and you go from A to B, A to B, A to B. Mm. And that is all that there is to worry about. And it's really refreshing. It's just simplifying life.
Yeah, yeah. I think part of it as well, in terms of like why I make it so challenging, is if you really boil it down, I think it's like what the want to be impressive as well. Like when we used to make films years ago, I always felt like I had a good purpose, and this was something that I would make me interesting kind of thing. Yeah. I'm not saying that's the only reason I walk, but it's definitely part of it. I think because at the beginning of the year, I sort of think, what am I going to do this year? And if it's just work and like a holiday or something like that, I don't know if that is enough for me. I want something planned where it's just me and I can film it and I can share it with people and do something that is impressive. And I think if you boil it down, it is, there is probably something in me, at least a little part of me, is the only reason I'm doing this is to be impressive to someone.
Well, I don't think, even if that is your motivation, I don't think that necessarily matters, because what it is doing is, it's another way of saying, what am I going to do with this year? What can I do that is impressive? What can I do that fills my life with something more than just the standard, which is the work with a couple of holidays kind of thing? You want to just add something extra to your life. And that is what adventure is. Adventure is adding some life to your life.
Yeah. And I think particularly because I'm now in a 9-to-5 lifestyle, I think that is my escape, is planning my next walk and working out what I'm going to do next. And that's why the Jurassic Coast was important to me. And last year, I had a really bad mental health year. The worst year maybe I've had so far. Because of mental health. And it was really important to me. And I was going to do it last year, but I just wasn't in the right mindset. I just couldn't get myself out of that funk that I was in. And then this year, as soon as I felt sort of more driven to do it, I knew how important it was that I should, for my mental health, but also just for me as well, like personally, because I was acting and making films and stuff in London, there was that creative outlet that I still have. And for me, these walks are now my creative outlet. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to focus on when I'm not working and have my life outside of work and family and friends and all that kind of stuff. It's like, what do I want to do? I'd think about walks more than I think about, oh, where should I go on holiday or anything like that. It's important to me.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's like a personal project. It's something that is yours and you can do however you want.
Yeah, and I think that's why I do it solo as well, because a lot of people would ask, like, do you listen to music on the way? Or even some family members have been like, oh, where are you today? We'll come join you. And it's like, no, this is just for me. This is my time.
No, you will not.
Going back to the Goonies analogy, I guess, it's like, this is my time. This is my time. And it's just me and the camera as well. I use that as my dear diary. I always want to be as honest as I can to the camera, and I don't want to just make it like a really positive experience entirely. If I'm having a struggle that day, I want to be very honest and say, look, today was horrible, or I really hated that last mile, or I'm really not enjoying this right now. And I think that's okay.
So a lot of people that we speak to on the podcast, they'll be doing full-time adventures. They'll either travel full-time or they'll be taking on massive expeditions that are kind of like, you know, months, sometimes years at a time. Some of them will be living in a van, some of them will be living in a boat. Basically, adventure will consume their whole lifestyle. But you have a 9-to-5 job, as you said, a very structured, standard, good, routined life that you love and you're very happy. But you have managed to put adventure into that life through your walks, which I really like. What advice would you give to anyone listening who is in a similar position to you? They have a 9-to-5 job, but they want a bit more adventure in their life, but they're not necessarily in a position to, and maybe don't even want to do full-time travel, full-time adventure. What would you say? How do you go about adding a bit more adventure into your life? How did you do it?
If you're looking for a challenge, or if you're looking for something enjoyable, to find something that gets you excited. For me, the Jurassic Coast walk didn't get me excited last year. And that's because I realized I didn't make it challenging enough, that I was in it for the challenge and it wasn't challenging enough. And as soon as I found that, put something in, like the rule of 20 miles a day at least for most days, that brought the spark back. I think I went through a similar process to probably the people I'm giving advice to of, yeah, but why am I doing this?
What's the point?
Yeah. What's the point in doing this? And for me, it was the challenge. But I think, there's always room. If you're in a 9-to-5 job, then you can take adventure any way you want it to be, whether that's just this Saturday, I'm going to go for a 10-mile walk, and just little things like that. And if you enjoyed that, just put yourself in a position of like, what if I was staying somewhere and walking again tomorrow, and just how that Yeah, it's kind of walk specific, I guess. But
no, but that's fine. That's fair. That is your, I mean, yeah, that is what you do.
So. But the like, you find your own comfort as well, I think. Like, for example, me, like I really thought about camping a lot because I thought in my head, the idea of camping was great. The idea of sort of wild camping on the coast. I'd find a nice, amazing clifftop view. And in the morning, I'd get up at sunrise and I'd have a cup of tea. And also in my head, I was like, that would make great content. What good content it would make. And then that suddenly became a roadblock for me as well, because I was out of my comfort zone to a point that was stopping me doing it.
Mm.
And then I just thought, well, no, let's just have a look at like pub hotels, Airbnbs. Let's do it in a like a bit of luxury style. And that was what I needed. So I still managed to be able to set myself this challenge, but in my own way that I wanted to do it. I didn't want to camp. Okay, great. That's fine. No one's going to judge you for not camping because you're still doing 20 miles a day.
I remember when you decided, when you finally made that decision to not camp, how you said like it felt like a weight had been lifted off your shoulders.
Did I? Yeah, great. Yeah, that's it.
And I think that's really good and really important advice, because it's like, set yourself a challenge, yes, but don't set yourself an unrealistic challenge that's maybe going to be too much. Set yourself a challenge and build yourself up to the next level of challenges. Tanya and I, we actually released a film very recently about our hike that some of you might have seen, called about Mount Rinjani, and that really did push us, and it pushed Tanya in particular out of her comfort zone.
Mm.
And now we've pushed ourselves out of that comfort zone, we can go, okay, what's the next comfort zone that we can push, and what's the next? So maybe another one you will do, maybe not the next one, maybe not the one after that, but at some point in the future, as you've built up your tolerance for walking, you know what it's like, you know what to expect, you might then be able to implement the camping side into it.
Yeah, totally. But
absolutely. As you say, if the camping and the idea of the camping is going to be enough to put you off doing it, then you just define the whole point.
I think this is pot calling the kettle black as well, but don't be too hard on yourself. Because I judge myself a lot, I think, for deciding not to camp. I felt better about not camping, but there was a part of me that was like, you're not doing it properly though. And I think, yeah, it's so silly. And you can be your own worst enemy for sure. But I think don't worry about it. Just don't worry about it.
I think the advice I would give to you about camping is I did a solo hike, my first ever solo hike in Iceland. And I did one night. I literally, because I didn't like the idea of doing more than that, because I was like, I don't know what it's going to be like. I'd also have to carry more food. It'd be like my bag would get even heavier. I did one night of camping and got a feel for how I liked hiking, setting up the tent, you know, eating food that you have to cook on a little stove, and then packing the tent down. And I did really, really enjoy it. But I feel now I'd be more confident to say, yeah, I can go two or three nights, see how that goes. And it's like, oh yeah, maybe I could do a week.
Yeah.
So it's about easing yourself into it. And it's like we say to everyone about everything. It's just, don't just necessarily, unless you're that kind of person, nothing wrong with it if you want to, but don't necessarily just jump in the deep end and go, great, I'm going to go and live in a van straight away without even just trying if I like van life. I'm going to go and do a 200 mile hike where I'm doing 50 miles a day and I'm going to sleep in a tent and I'm going to carry everything with myself, because that might put you off doing something like that in the future because it's so hard.
I looked forward to coming home and having my home comforts, and that is one of the reasons that I do it. I think when I was younger, there was something called 10 Tours where it was this massive expedition that was organized by the army every year over Dartmoor, starting Saturday, I think 6 o'clock in the morning to Sunday, 5 p.m. You had to walk to these 10 different tours. It was very difficult. And I remember at that point when we did the training walks, it was, even if it was just 5 or 10 miles, I remember thinking it's worth doing these just for the bath that you have at the end. And I think in a similar way, I kind of haven't changed at all. Because I thought, how great will it be to sit on my sofa and do nothing and play Zelda and have a Coca-Cola and just have a spaghetti bolognese and just do nothing, like have my nights in again. And it was it wasn't one of the reasons why I did it, but it was one of the things that I loved about it, because you get away and by the time you come home, you're ready to come home.
And you appreciate home more than you would if you were just there without leaving.
And I think that's probably part of the why it's good for my mental health, even though I didn't think about anything whilst I was walking, it made me realize, not that I necessarily needed it, but it made me realize that, oh, actually, I really like, I like my flat this much. I like where I live this much. I like my life as it is this much, because I was looking forward to going back to work and stuff. It's like, oh, that's interesting. Mm. So that's why walking is good, or at least like a couple of days away. It's similar to a holiday, really. I essentially took a walking holiday.
Yeah, that's exactly what you did. And yeah, it's something that Tanya said to me the other day, actually, when we came back to Jits after doing our 4 months of backpacking. We were both looking forward to coming back to Jits and looking forward to being back in the UK. And Tanya said, you know, it's been a great trip when you're not tired of the trip, but you're still looking forward and feel ready to come home. It's not like we were like, oh God, like I can't wait to get home, but it's coming home and you feel like, yeah, great. I'm excited. This is great. Lovely.
It's coming home. I think in a weird way, it's almost like the harder it is, the better the payoff is at the end.
Oh yeah.
But I think that, yeah, it's probably actually true. Cause if it's difficult, like, yeah, then.
It's more accomplishments.
Yeah. Accomplishment.
Same
exactly.
With everything in life, isn't it?
Yeah.
So do you have any functional, practical advice that you could give to anyone who is thinking of going on long distance walks? Like, what is the key things to pack? Oh, important to note that maybe you don't want to listen to Sam completely because he forgot his hiking boots, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe you're not the best person to give advice on this, but...
No. I packed clothes. I packed my GoPro. I packed... some Compeed blister plasters. I packed drumstick squashies, but I did not pack my hiking boots. And it's amazing because the morning of going, I put microporous tape on. That's good advice. Put microporous tape on your feet where you're going to rub and get blisters before you even start walking. And then put my socks on, put my walking socks on. And it was only then, for some reason, at 7:30 in the Monday morning when I was about to start, I don't have my hiking boots. So... yeah, don't forget your hiking boots.
Don't forget your hiking boots. Good advice. Solid advice.
I'd probably put that top.
Probably, yeah. Boots and your other clothes. You don't want to be just walking around in your hiking boots.
Yeah.
Probably,
yeah. I think if I just go from like my Jurassic Coast experience, the waistband of a backpack is vital. Mm-hmm. I think I did.
That's the strap that goes around your waist.
Yeah, yeah. That saved me, I think. I think I didn't realize how much it saved me because it saved me so well that my shoulders didn't feel too bad. I think realistically, the me on day 3 or day 4 would have said, make sure it's manageable, because I think I did too much, probably. I set myself too much of a challenge, but the me back home wouldn't have got out the front door.
Wouldn't have listened to you.
Yeah, he wouldn't have listened to me because he'd be like, no, do this. That's why it's alter ego, because the alter ego walking is calling the alter ego at home, sitting on his sofa, organising it all, a massive swear word. But no, I genuinely think microporous tape is literally sellotape that you put to... I put it on my heels, I put it on my little toes because those are the places where I get blisters. That saved me. I had Voltarol gel.
You didn't bring Vaseline, no?
I didn't bring Vaseline.
Why is Vaseline important?
That's a great question. I don't mind saying. I got chafe in between the legs on day 2, I think. I wasn't wearing sport shorts. I was wearing normal t-shirts, which I thought would do the job. But for the first time ever in my life, I received nipple chafe.
Oh.
And it's so much more painful than I thought it would be. My first thought was I got a microporous tape my nipples.
Yeah.
I think people do that.
Why didn't you do that?
You
were like waxing yourself.
Do you know what? I don't know why I didn't do that. I had a real mentality. It's so interesting, this guy who does these walks.
This guy that you become.
Yeah, yeah. Because he just doesn't stop. He doesn't want to stop. And any kind of... ailment he gets, he will walk through. Unless it's something that's going to break his legs, he will walk through it. Mm. Because the biggest thing for me was, the biggest worry whilst I was out there were my knees. Because on all on the declines, my knees absolutely hated it. End of day one, I was so worried. Mm. That was my biggest worry, I think, at that point. But yeah, in terms of advice, to people about that kind of stuff, don't worry about making it manageable for yourself. But if you really want to push yourself, go for it. But just know that you have to have a special mentality to get yourself over the line.
You just said, don't worry about making it manageable for yourself.
Don't worry about, hang on, don't worry about not, wait.
Oh, this is great. Sam doesn't like double negatives. But
I can't do negatives. Sometimes I can't even do one negative and I get easily confused with this kind of thing.
It's like, is it easy?
Make sure, we'll start with a positive. Make sure that you don't feel... I got to start with a don't. That's the problem. Don't judge yourself too harshly if you make it difficult. Mm-hmm. Make it easy for yourself and you think that, let's say, 20 miles a day, if before I could talk myself down and say, hey, 15 miles a day is fine, that's enough of a challenge, then that, yeah, don't judge yourself too harshly if it's like, uh-oh, it's going to be too easy. Don't worry about it.
Okay, so just to be clear.
Sorry, that was waffle.
That is fine. I love a bit of waffle. So I'm just going to try and summarize that.
Yeah, thank you.
So you're saying don't be afraid. Don't feel the pressure to make it too difficult.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
There it is. That's
yeah, just edit everything I just said out. Do a voice changer on your voice and make me say that.
Okay, great. I can quote you on that.
Yeah, you can quote me on that.
Great.
But I haven't even said it.
Okay. What would you say that this last walk has taught you about yourself?
I've learned that I never learn. I've learned that the guy who does all the walking for me, my alter ego, will always want to not stop, keep going, walk as fast as possible, regardless of whether it's sensible, and abandon all sense.
Brilliant. So funny, because I'm one of your best friends and I think I know you very well, but I guess I've only seen that side of you when we make films and when we play football, because you get into a very determined headspace like that.
Yeah.
I don't see you like that in everyday life because you're so chilled and relaxed and easygoing. But then I guess this hike just turns you into a different person, which is fascinating. And I just want to say, before we wrap up, I just want to say that I'm very, very proud of you for doing this, because it is incredible that you've taken charge of your own life to make sure that you put something into it that you're genuinely passionate about, which I think firstly is commendable. Secondly, you have taken on an incredible physical challenge of this hiking, which is really tough. Thirdly, you've done it on your own, which does take a certain element of courage, because everything pretty much up to now that I've done that has been like a new challenge, like the living in the van, all these things that Tanya and I have done, it has been Tanya and I. And we do want to do solo challenges. It's something that we've spoken about. We've got some plans coming up and things that we want to do, which we're very excited about, but I'm also very scared about it. And
it's
something about doing stuff on your own that is scary. So fair play to you and well done.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate it. I'm really proud of myself too. I think I'm proud of what I did. And I don't really, in a kind of similar alter ego way, I just can't believe that I was able to do that. But really proud of it.
You should be.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that a lot.
So three more questions.
Okay.
These next two are a bit of a tradition on the podcast.
Yeah.
And as one of my best friends, I'm sure you've listened to loads of episodes of the podcast, so she should be really well prepared for these.
Yeah.
So the first one is a book recommendation. Do you have a book recommendation for listeners? It could be something that you've enjoyed reading, it's just a fun read, or it could be something inspirational that's really kind of motivated you to do what you're doing with your life. But it doesn't have to be. It could just be something you've read for fun.
I think I'd probably be stupid not to recommend a book called The Salt Path, which is by Raina, I'm not even going to try and remember her name, by an amazing woman who tells us true story of her life a few years ago, where her and her partner had become bankrupt and they'd lost their house and they didn't know what to do. And for some reason, they decided to walk the Southwest Coast Path. Mm-hmm. And it is their story of how they struggled and how they got through it, and just little details of the Southwest Coast Path as well. I actually read it last year for inspiration to try and, when I was feeling low and got myself to think more, let's do this Jurassic Coast. And I think it's a really good book, and a lot of people who have read it have loved reading it. So I think it's, yeah, probably a solid recommendation that I'd be foolish not to recommend, because it is literally set on the Jurassic Coast at some points.
Very relevant. Good recommendation. Yeah, I've heard good things about that book as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So the next one is a secret code emoji. So this is an emoji that people listening can use to reach out to Tanya and I at Adventure Mindset Podcast on Instagram, and or Sam. So if you want to reach out to Sam and you send him the following emoji, then he will know where you've come from. He'll know that you've listened to the podcast, listened to the conversation, and you're reaching out on behalf of that. So what's the secret code emoji, Sam?
A brontosaurus. I think there's a brontosaurus. Okay. The long-necked one. The long-necked yes. one. I am just going to double check that that's actually one, because I'm pretty sure. There's a brontosaurus, a kind of teal brontosaurus.
Great. Okay. So anybody listening, the brontosaurus dinosaur is the code emoji, this week's code emoji. So you can reach out to Sam and let him know. And that's because Jurassic Coast, very clever.
Yeah.
I love what you did there.
Yeah, I'm a clever guy.
Thank you. Thanks, Sam. Honestly, thanks so much. It's been lovely talking about this, because we do obviously talk about it, but this podcast has really given us an excuse to kind of go into depth.
Yeah, it really has. Yeah, really nice. Yeah. And thank you so much for having me. Thanks for bringing me on.
Of course. And for anybody listening, of course, we'll leave all of this in the show notes. But for anybody listening who wants to reach out to you, get in touch, follow your journey, where do they go?
They go on Instagram. They type in Walk Like the Wind. And on YouTube, they type in Walk Like the Wind Official.
There you go.
Walk Like the Wind. Brontosaurus.
Brontosaurus. Get those brontosauruses out.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. Cheers, mate. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Right, we've got to go watch the Grand Prix, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. Yeah. Okay, let's wrap it up.
Thanks so much for listening. And thank you again to Sam. I personally really enjoyed listening to Adam and Sam have a banter.
Top quality banter.
We've of course left the link in the show notes to Dorset Mind and Cancer Research UK, which are the charities that Sam did the walk for. So don't forget to go along and check those out.
And don't forget to go and follow Sam at Walk Like the Wind on YouTube and on Instagram. It's very much a passion project for him at the moment. He's fitting it in between his work. I know he would really, really appreciate your support. So go over there and subscribe, follow, and send the brontosauruses.
And if you've enjoyed this episode, then we recommend episode 36 with Ellie and Carl from Tough Souls, all about walking and camping every single trail in Ireland.
See you here next week for the next episode.
Bye.